Very well. We can begin then. Thank you everyone for joining. My name is Alejandro Barney. I am the Investor Relations Officer for BIMA, and today we will be talking about our second quarter results. As is usual the case, please keep your questions until the end of the presentation, and then we will open it up for Q&A. Very well. Here are our quarterly results. Also a strong quarter. We believe in terms of growth of the business. As was the case in the last quarter, we are seeing the CSD, the Central Securities Depository, Caja Valores, really driving the growth this time around, and unlike what was the case for the last 2, 3 years. Now we are seeing the CSD growing faster than the exchange. And we'll cover a little bit of that during the presentation. The income growth between both of the businesses then, you can see that it was 60% or 25% in real terms. Please remember that this is the only page where we show the adjusted by inflation numbers, which are the numbers on the right hand of the page. And we have the historical numbers in the middle of the page, which is what we usually talk about. Expenses did grow a little bit more than inflation at 68% or 31% in real terms. But between both of them, our gross margin also had a nice growth in real terms of 21%. And other operating income was practically flat in real terms, so it grew by inflation. We consider this to be a very good result given the situation of interest rates locally in Argentina. But we will also get into a little bit more detail further on. So the result, net income in historical terms, growing at 22%, a little bit below inflation due to higher income tax, and in real terms, dropping 9%. So starting then with the details about the business, you can see how the Central Securities Depository is growing very strongly. We have added the monthly figures of the assets under custody in our investor relations page, and we are also changing the layout so it's easier to find the information. We hope that you appreciate the new layout. So you have the AUCs broken down by asset class in the investor relations page, as I mentioned. And when you look at that detail, this was an interesting quarter. Because we saw growth across all asset classes. When we look at the evolution of the first quarter from the end of last year, most of the growth was driven by T-bills from the National Treasury. Whereas this quarter, we have seen, as I mentioned before, growth across all asset classes. In terms of percentage growth, the corporate bonds was the one with the highest percent. Obviously, the government securities are the largest part of the total, so that drove in terms of market value. That is what drove the growth. But in terms of percentage, as I was saying, it was corporate bonds. Also, very interesting to see is that the amount of CDRs under custody grew 18% quarter over quarter, and it was driven more by amount than by price. So the prices of the CDR portfolio did go up, but most of the growth, two-thirds of that 18% of the growth, was driven by more CDRs. In other words, we are seeing that local institutional, local retail, as well as local institutional investors, both of them are demanding more CDRs in their accounts. And so we convert the market makers convert more to the arts, and therefore the AUCs have grown locally. As a result of the growth in AUCs, then we have seen very strong results from the Central Securities Depository. Revenue doubled from the previous year, and it was based on the core ADC services as well as the additional services. As a reminder, the additional services are services that are related to international custody, both outflow as well as inflow. In other words, local institutions that are buying assets offshore, as well as foreign investors that are buying assets locally. And in addition to the international custody segment, the small and medium enterprise instruments that also drove the assets under custody growth and therefore the revenue associated with that line. So quite a good quarter and even higher acceleration. So the growth this second quarter was higher than the growth in the first quarter. So we think that this trend will continue. It is driven by the National Treasury, as we saw, and it is related to the fact that the central bank has been buying a lot of dollars. Those pesos that were issued to buy the dollars are being absorbed by the National Treasury through securities. And those securities, therefore, are in custody, and we're seeing the benefit of that in the CSD segment. In terms of the exchange, more subdued growth, similar to the previous quarter. In historical numbers, the growth was 41% of the revenue. Equities, as usual, as is always the case, is the largest segment. This time around, on-exchange repo was the second largest, and fixed income the third largest. So if we look at the different asset classes, how they evolve, first of all, we go into equity. You can see that the ADTV had a very strong growth, 92%. The comparison to the same quarter last year has the difference in fees. We are currently charging 5 basis points on equity, whereas the second quarter of last year, in May, we had reduced from 8 to 7 basis points. So half of the quarter had a little bit lower fees, but the other half of the quarter, we were charging for 8 basis points. And therefore, that explains a big part of the reason why the exchange revenues are not growing as quickly. The other interesting point here is that the light blue in the graph to the left of the page is the CDRs, average daily traded volumes. And you can see that all of the growth has come from the CDR segment. And as a matter of fact, when we look at the dark blue, which is the local shares, with the exception of the fourth quarter of last year, that has been very stable, around 90 to 100,000. It would be billion in English, but it is 1,000 millions in Spanish. And that has been pretty flat, as you can see from the graph. In every quarter, with the exception of the fourth quarter of last year, where we saw the results of the election at the end of October of last year. At that point, the market was in a buying mode, and therefore the ADTV did go up significantly. So we have two initiatives to change this, which is a local market maker program and a local ETF. BIMA has already selected a broker-dealer to be its market maker locally. We expect that to be implemented in October of this year. This is a broker-dealer that will be acting from abroad, and therefore there are some connectivity that needs to be solved for them to act. But we hope that this will start showing more an increase in local volumes, first of all on Bima shares, but we are actively talking about this program with other issuers locally, so that they also consider hiring a local market maker. So that should help drive the growth in the local equity segment. And in terms of the local ETF, also there has been it has been officialized that there is a local bank that it will be launching the first local ETF that follows the S&P Merval index. That will happen also around October of this year. And the local ETF adds opportunities for arbitraging the ETF with the underlying shares, as well as the ETF with the future of the index. So those two arbitrages will also help drive the growth in local equity volumes. Very well. Going on to fixed income then, trading in fixed income did recover, as you can see. So the first quarter was very low, a large drop from the fourth quarter of last year, mainly due to the fact that the central bank had been very active in the third quarter and fourth quarter. And since then, interest rates have been coming down with the injection of liquidity from the central bank. In the dollars they were buying as part of their foreign reserve improvement. So you can see that the second quarter, and without the appearance of the central bank, we are seeing a recovery of the average daily traded volumes of both the guaranteed segment as well as the bilateral segment, and a subsequent or the result also of the revenues also growing versus last year and versus the first quarter of this year from the fixed income. Here for this segment, we also have an initiative in place, the recent acquisition of Quantex. It is an OTC platform that uses RFQ as a request for quote as a trading mechanism. This trading venue is being set up with Tradeweb, so that there will be a connectivity between foreign investors interested in buying local fixed income in Argentina. It will be easier for them since Bima will be the sole interface, and therefore the foreign broker-dealer does not need to approve a credit line to the local participant. Bima will be the sole intermediary for the entire market. So we believe that in this way, we will increase the volumes traded from foreigners interested in local instruments. On-exchange repo saw a reduction for the first time. This reduction was due to the fact that the local regulator implemented a maximum amount that the local brokers can use their debt-to-equity ratio. So the amount of leverage that the local brokers did come down. It is not a fixed limit, so it is a relative value limit based on their own net worth, their own equity. So as the local brokers grow, this growth trend will continue as well on the on-exchange repo. So we believe that this is a one-off drop. We are seeing, and you can follow the daily volumes, we are seeing that we are experiencing growth again from the second quarter, but we're not close to the previous limits, to previous amounts that we had in the first quarter. So We expect to see growth a little bit more subdued in the future based on these changes that the local regulator introduced. Market data is a small fraction of our total revenues. We should see this line growing with the launch of the local ETFs, and as more local ETFs start using our indices, we should see growth in this segment line. I mentioned in the first page that the expenses had been higher than the inflation, and half of that impact is due to the BIMA clearing launch that we had in the second quarter. The launch implied a significant amount of consultancy that we hired for the launch from technology vendors, as well as bonuses based on the successful launch of the project, and overtime that was also paid. Both of these lines, compensation and consultancy, have seen a significant growth based on this project. Half of that growth, as I was saying, was based on the project, and so we should see that come down in the next quarter. The other half of the increase in compensation is related to more headcount that we have hired. We are changing the profile of the employees that we have in some areas. So we have been hiring, but again, we should see that this is a maximum amount, and we should come down from that maximum in the next few quarters. And finally, what I wanted to raise was that you will notice that the taxes, the ingresos brutos line, grew below inflation. We are starting to see the impact of the initiatives we had for tax efficiency, and this should see an even smaller growth in the next couple of quarters as those initiatives take full force. Some of them were implemented towards the end of the first quarter, and others were implemented during this second quarter, so we're not seeing the full impact of these tax efficiency initiatives that we have had. Going into our financial income then, first of all, you can see that the earnings from the devaluation, which is the dark blue portion of the graph, those earnings came back to being positive. We saw appreciation of the peso in the first quarter, and therefore we had a loss on the mark-to-market due to that appreciation. Now the second quarter saw devaluation again, and therefore we saw in pesos, we saw that the earnings growth. And in terms of interest and mark-to-market, we saw a very similar quarter to the first one. It was a harder environment to achieve that due to the negative interest rates that we had for most of the second quarter. And so the results, again, are quite positive as we interpret them based on the market conditions. So as a result of this, we continue to have high efficiencies. We came down slightly from our all-time high in EBITDA and operating margin, but very close to the maximum that we have had over the previous years. And as I mentioned before, and based on the fact that that half of the increase in expenses was related to the BIMA clearing project, we expect that efficiency to inch back up again in the rest of the year. Here we will leave you the historical numbers. And in summary then, and the I must say that the document we sent out by email had some of the percentages in the first line were erroneous, so we have corrected that in this presentation. These are the correct numbers. It was only in this page that the percentage variation was wrong. In the previous page, it was correct. But we will be uploading this presentation to our investor relations website. So this will be the corrected version. So you can delete the one that was sent by email. We spoke about the BIMA clearing launch. We spoke about the key projects. The only thing to add also is we mentioned it briefly initially, but we have upgraded our investor relations page website. You should be able to find the information much easier, and we welcome any comments that you may have about that or any other questions.